Today on Real Radio.
So people will say anything about Jesus. Christian friend, today when you go, wherever you go, from here on out, just start asking things like this. When people start saying things about God, or when you just say, or you'll hear a conversation, believe me, if you're open, God will bring up the conversation and you'll get to just stick your nose right in it. God will do it. He'll cause it to happen and you'll say, excuse me, did you say that you believed in God? I'm sorry, but did you say you believed in God? Yeah. Great, that's great. What God do you believe in? Excuse me? God who? I mean, there's a lot of people knocking on doors and people writing books. Which God? Who? What God do you believe in?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 9, which includes what is arguably the most important question of life. In the words of the Messiah, who do you say that I am? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called, What Do You Think About Jesus?
Luke chapter 9, it is an amazing moment, and I'll tell you why. In fact, the Lord kind of helped us with today. Have you noticed how incredibly warm it is today? People are going to the beach today. People came to first service. It was almost packed. First service. People came to first service because they were going to go to the beach. Why? Seasons changed. In California, Southern California, the seasons, it doesn't change over time. It changes in a day. And you can feel it. You can feel it. You want to be outside. You can feel the sun on your skin, the warmth of the breeze that's blowing. It's excellent. The season is changing. This portion of Scripture marks a dramatic and awesome change in the ministry of Jesus. Here's one of the reasons why. In Luke chapter 9, verse 9, we heard Herod ask, who is this man who is doing these great miracles? Who is he? Herod asked the question, who is doing this? And Jesus last week turned around and answered not by word, but he answered by deed, didn't he? Jesus turned around and produced enough fish and bread for 5,000 men and not to mention women and children. He responded by a miracle. The question came, who is he? Jesus answers by fulfilling the prophets of old that announced that the Messiah would be doing these miracles. So he responds by action, but there's more. From this moment on, in Luke chapter 9, starting today, the scriptures teach us that Jesus now will turn his face toward Jerusalem. Everything changes now. He's been in the beautiful, quiet, lush regions of the northern Galilee. Wonderful location to disciple and teach and train your followers. But now it's different. Now something changes. After what happens today, and he starts, by the way, and we'll look at it in a moment. He starts in the north of Israel. From this moment on, the scripture tells us, well, you can jot it down. The scriptures tell us that he is going to be set in his face as flint, as it were. But we are looking today at Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. The title of the message is, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ? Now watch this. Jot it down, would you? There's a piece of paper in the seat in front of you. What do you think about Jesus Christ? And you're going to be thinking, I'll let the guy next to me answer that. Hey, can I just get you fired up right at the start? Why wait for 40 minutes? Let me just tell you the hot stuff now, okay? Nobody can answer it for you. You have to answer it yourself. You say, well, I don't want to answer it for yourself. You got to read the fine print of the Bible. If you don't answer it yourself, you've already answered it. I'm not going to take sides on who Jesus is. I'm going to avoid the question. Church, this is the awesome thing about the question that Jesus is going to be asking in a moment. It's unavoidable. He's going to be asking, you will see in a moment, who do people say that I am? He's going to ask that of the disciples. And they're going to have their report as to what is on the street about what people think about Jesus. Okay? Then Jesus turns to them and ask the most important question, church, listen, the most important question that you will ever be asked in your entire life. Whatever question there is asked of you is second to this number one question of all. Jesus turns and he asks the disciples, but who do you say I am? I don't care this morning if you are a well-seasoned saint to an absolute atheist. It doesn't matter. You will have to cope with the same question. Now, the answer is fully yours. The answer, you can give any answer you want, but you can't avoid the question. The question in the Bible that Jesus will ask us today demands a response. And even if your response or my response is, I'm not going to answer, Jesus anticipated that, and he said, if you're not for me, then you are against me. There's no neutral ground with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's reasonable. Did he not go to the cross and die? Did he not be beaten? Was his beard not plucked out of his face? Was he not scourged? Was he not spit upon? Was he not misunderstood and ridiculed and mocked? And was he not mistreated? For what reason? He was God in human flesh. He could have snapped his finger and said, you know what? Let these people fry in hell. What am I doing here? I'm out of here. He could have done that. He could have snapped his fingers and instantly went back to heaven. He didn't do that. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You say, what was that joy? I'll answer that right now. In the count of three, I want you to shout your name. That was the joy that was set before him. In the count of three, shout your name. I just need to hear it. It's encouraging. And I'm sure it blesses God. One, two, three. That's why he went to the cross. I didn't hear Jack in that, but that's why he went to the cross. Keep that in mind. Now the scripture tells us the most important thing that you and I need to answer in our life. We all have an answer, atheist or not. And that answer is all important. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18, and it happened, says the scripture here, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them this saying, who do the crowds say that I am? And so they answered, and they said, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets of old has risen from the dead or risen again. And he said to them, verse 20, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God, or the Messiah, or the Anointed One, or we would say today, the Savior of God, the Savior of the world. And he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell no man this. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, by the chief priests, by the scribes, and be killed. He will be raised the third day. And then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and that of his Father and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. There are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in those four gospels, some events are recorded singular to one of the gospels. That is, one gospel writer makes mention of a certain thing. Another gospel writer doesn't mention it. Some gospel writers, two of them, mention an event and the other two do not. Sometimes it's all four. All four Gospels mention all four accounts. The Gospels do not contradict each other. The amazing, scientific study of the Gospels is quite spectacular, because when you take the four Gospels and overlay them upon another, it's almost as though it takes the message and then makes it into Technicolor. The resolution is enhanced Much like your computer screen. The more advanced your computer screen is, the more enhanced or the more clear the picture is. There's not one gospel. There's one gospel. There's not one gospel writer. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you look at them all, they do not ever, not once, contradict each other, but wind up sharing more light regarding the announcement that's being made. Out of the four gospels, you've got three gospels mentioning this event that you have on your lap this morning in your Bible. It's a very important thing. Why? Because as the season changes in the ministry of Jesus, something is taking place, and it all begins with a question. Jesus now, in fact, if you think about it, jot it down if you would, two verses. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 explains the intensity of what's happening. Luke 9, 51 says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up," that is to go back to heaven, "he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." That's a great verse because right now Jesus is in the Galilee. He's going to turn now and head on his way to Jerusalem. And the word steadfastly is also translated to be set like flint or to be determined and to be concrete about it. Jesus is now moving towards Jerusalem. Watch this. Jerusalem is the target of his mission to get there. Why? He's going to be betrayed. Why would he want to go there? He knows it. Look, you and I have a tendency to run away from trouble, not look for it. He knows he's going to be rejected. He just got done telling us. He's going to be manhandled. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be, as Isaiah chapters 50 to 54 tells us, he's going to have his beard plucked out of his face. By the way, Roman soldiers did that by taking a stick and they put it in a man's beard and they tighten it up. And then they would take their Roman sandal and put it on your forehead and then jerk the hair out of your face. Ladies, can you imagine having about maybe 500, 600, 700, 800 hairs pulled out of your face at one time, twisted in that knot and then jerked? Some ancient scholars write that when that happened to people, when that happened to those victims, you could see their teeth through the hole that was left in their mouth. "They plucked out my beard," said the prophet concerning Jesus. All this was awaiting him. And he went. Remember the names you shouted out a moment ago? That's why he set his face like flint to Jerusalem. There was nothing that was going to take him off the path of answering your question. Jesus, will you save me? Jesus, will you love me? Oh God, will you forgive me? He had to go to Jerusalem. Or you don't have any of that. He had to go to Jerusalem, or I have nothing. He had to go to Jerusalem, or else we would still be lost in our sins. And he didn't shy away from it. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, you and I, he endured the cross. Maybe today in a modern day vernacular or tongue, we would say, you know what? What do I get out of going to the cross? What do I get by doing that? And the Father turned to him and he said, "I will give these as your reward." I don't know about what you think about you. And you and I probably shouldn't think much about us because we love us already. We love ourselves too much, if you know what I mean. You say, "Jack, come on now." No, when there's a group photo, who do you look for first? You look for you. Why? Because you naturally love you. When you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, did you look for somebody else or did you look for you? When you picked out your clothes this morning, who were you picking them out for? You. Did you pick the ugliest clothes in your closet or did you pick what you thought you'd look good today in? By the way, you know the weather's changing when everybody starts wearing Hawaiian shirts. You pick, you do, you think. Why? Because we are already in love with us. The Bible makes it very clear. We love ourselves. That's part of our problem. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Can I come? Can I be first? I don't want to be last. How much is it going to cost? Will you pay my way? See, we are already very concerned about ourselves, but here's what's more important than that. Forget it. You want to know why? You don't need to worry about that stuff because there's one who is absolutely, he not only loves you, he likes you. And that's Jesus Christ. You are the reward for him setting his face like flint to straightaway go to Jerusalem. You're his prize. That's amazing to me. In John chapter 18, verse 37, the scripture says, for this cause, Jesus is speaking. He says, for this cause was I born. And for this reason have I come into the world. That's you. Okay, here's the story. This message will be divided up into two parts. Part one this morning is this. We're looking at the first 2 points. Next time together, we'll look at the last 2 points. The first point is this. What do you think about Jesus? Verses 18 to 19. This is it. When it comes to who he is, listen to what it says. It happened that as he was there alone praying, that his disciples joined him. So they came alongside him. They noticed that he's in prayer. He's praying. And he, Jesus, asked them, that is the disciples, who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say, or others say, one of the prophets of old is risen from the dead. What is significant about what we're talking about here and now? It's not only the question, church, listen, take notes on this. It's not only the question, it's the geography of where the question is being asked. That is all important. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Remember that little mini retreat they were trying to get to? Anybody remember last week? They were going to get in the boat and go take a break. What happened? Remember the people ran around on the side of the lake and they met him when they got out of the boat? And their little retreat was all messed up, right? Jesus fed the 5,000. Remember that? Jesus didn't forget that they needed a break. Isn't that sweet? They get out of the boat. He feeds the 5,000. He takes them north. They start heading up. And this is very important. We're going to look at a couple of slides. They are in Caesarea Philippi. That is a very, very key location as to why Jesus Christ is presenting this question to the disciples. And here we go. This is the land of Israel, obviously, right here. You see the Dead Sea here, and you see the Galilee. By the way, see that little lake right there, the Lahula Lake? That's dried up now. It's a very fertile farmland right now, though. So this is the region. Jesus has been ministering in this region, and now he's heading north. Next slide. Zooms in on it. Take a look at this. This is obviously the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hand. Okay, you see Tiberias? That's where our hotel was. You were baptized right there. We drove up this way, and then we headed up this way through the mountains. And then came to Caesarea Philippi. If you haven't been there, it looks like the foothills or the higher foothills of Lake Tahoe. Extremely beautiful. Caesarea Philippi. No Jews go to Caesarea Philippi. What's Jesus doing? Well, wait a minute, Jack. If they're going to take a break, I see why Jesus is doing this. He's taking them to a place where nobody goes. I didn't say nobody goes there. No Jews would go there. Why? Next slide. You'll see why. No Jew would want to go there because these are various temples to pagan gods. By the way, they went over here too. Here's a temple. Here is a plaza. Temple. Plaza. Do you see that? Do you see this elevated plaza? Do you see the niche in the rock right there? Can you guys see that over here? Can you see that niche right there? See those people standing here? I know this is boring, but you got to get this in your head. You see those niches right there? Those cutouts? This is an artist's drawing, by the way. This is a sketch of 2,000 years ago. Yes, Jesus and those guys wore robes, but don't think that their architecture and their engineering was pathetic. We can't even do stuff like this today. We don't have enough money to pull this off. This is made out of the real deal. If we were going to build something like this, we'd use fiberglass. They used real stone. This is of the Roman Empire. Why is it important? Because you see, out in this area out here, there was this religious or spiritual agora mall marketplace. Why? Why spiritual? Because they are now in Caesarea Philippi. This is a mountain here of rock. And you guys see that black area right there? That is a cave. The Jordan River comes out of this cave and flowed off to this side. And the Jordan River begins in this hole. Comes out of the ground. See this temple? See this temple? Let's say today's Monday and it's Diana Day. It's Diana Day. And so the worshipers would come. They would get their little idols, their little icons of Diana. By the way, I know those of you in history have seen these things. It's quite shocking. Have you, though, has the general gathering of this church, have you seen idols of Diana? You don't want one. You don't want to see one. It is perverse sick. Why do I bring it up? Because you would buy it or bring it from home, and you would go to the temple here, and you'd come up to the steps, and you would say, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You'd take your money, and you would walk along this row that's inside here, enter these doors, and there would be girls, there would be women and men, boys and girls, that were dedicated to Diana. And you would go along there and you would pick one. And then you would take that person who was dedicated to the worship of Diana, and you'd go further along back inside here, and you would do what Diana is all about, if you know what I mean. And when you were done doing that, imagine all this in the days without Viagra. They would come out of here and they would pick up a new god. How cool is that? Okay, I'm done with this one. Here. I want a new one. I want this one. Aphrodite. Oh, I want Aphrodite. Okay. Or Zeus. Or Titan. Or whoever, whatever the ancient gods. You pick one. Idol. And then you'd go into this temple before you enter in. Great is Zeus. Great is Zeus. You have to make the declaration. Then you would enter in. And then you would pick that temple servant to accommodate you in worship. That's nothing. You see these platforms. And there's some more over here, by the way. And there's a big hill right here. We've all hiked up here to look down at this. We've all gone into here. And that right there, we stood in this. You can stand in that niche. See that platform right there? That's the plaza or the temple of the nymphs. Have you ever heard of nymphomania or nymphomaniac? That's the temple of the nymphs. I don't need to explain to you what goes on there. This is a nut house of a place. This is the Vegas of the day, man. This is a perverse, sick land right there. Caesarea Philippi. Now, do you see why no Jew would go there? It was demonic. It was horrific. It was dedicated to paganism. So where does Jesus take his disciples for a break? Isn't that weird? You kind of think maybe your Christianity is much more resilient than you give it credit for? Huh? What are you afraid of? Jesus takes his guys, and probably, next slide. Yep. That hill, those to the right, Jesus is probably, because it's a very excellent place to observe, you see these actual ruins here, you guys? You see these foundations? Do you see some cutouts right here? Can you see that? Do you see the cave where that temple once stood? Jesus saw all this stuff in real life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a mini-series called What Do You Think About Jesus? It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 18 through 27, part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because this is quite possibly life's most important question, we've made it a mini-series, and in fact, we're making it available on DVD, and it's called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's a valuable tool for evangelism as well as for your own personal review. Our offer is this. We'll send it to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, and it's on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.